I'm Priscilla. I'm so glad that you're here. This is The Chat. This is the place where we talk about things that hopefully matter to you, but certainly matter to me and should matter to you as well. We want to inform you. We want to encourage you, and we just want to have fun together. So pull your seat up because we're going to have an incredible conversation today with a wonderful woman who I've come to know in recent years. Her name is Candace Cameron Bure. You might know her from way back, but there is a now, a present tense in her life. Many things that are happening that we're going to talk about today. So fasten your seatbelt. It's going to be a fun ride. Priscilla, and this is our little virtual living room that we have created for you so that you can come and pull up a seat, get a warm drink in your hand, take your shoes off, put on your fluffy socks, you know, just hang out with us for a little while. We're having a great conversation that we've already had a part one of, okay? So if you've not seen part one, you need to make time for that because it is an incredible conversation that we have already started that we're going to continue right now with a wonderful woman. Her name is Candace Cameron Bure. Would you please help me to welcome her to part two of our conversation? We've been talking all about your kind of background, what people mostly know about you, but there is a whole new, fresh thing that is happening in your life. Just kind of sum it up for us. What is happening right now that you're excited about?
Oh, goodness. Well, I took about a 10-year break from acting to be a stay-at-home mom and raise my kids. And when my husband retired from playing professional hockey, I went back to work. And I've always loved the entertainment industry. I've always had a passion for it. And so I've been back in the industry for 6 or 7 years now, doing a lot of movies and was on another television show for a time, for a few years called Make It or Break It. And then I've written a couple of books.
You have.
And I'm producing some films and yet I have a ministry, so I speak at a lot of big women's conferences or church events just to encourage women out there and share my story. And what's so neat is that 10-year break that I took being a stay-at-home mom, that was really for my kids. But I realized that God grew my faith so much in that time and just allowed me to know him and then build me into the woman that I am today and that I'm trying to be and want to be.
It wasn't wasted years, you're saying.
No.
God used those years to give you the foundation you needed for now. And
yes.
I think that's so important you've said that because sometimes don't we feel like when we step away for just a little while, out of the limelight of our career, whatever it is that we're doing to raise our children or for whatever reason, we feel like somehow we're missing out or we're going to be behind schedule when we get back into it. And you're saying that's not
and
the case.
And it's not.
For you.
I can't imagine. I don't know how I would do what I'm doing now if I didn't have those 10 years of finding myself in Christ, because I can't balance it without him as my foundation and my and just setting forth my faith first in everything that I do. So I came back into the industry with a new set of eyes in that I'm like, okay, this is my mission field. It's not just what great job can I get? What great movie? What award can I win? What? How many books can I write?
Yeah, you ain't got time for that.
No.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
So you are in this place where people are inviting you to be a part of what they're doing, whether it is acting or speaking. Mm-hmm. And I assume a lot of people are asking you the same questions. They want to know about that whole full life part of your life, a full house part of your life and your experiences in the past. How do you really, tell us how you really feel about answering all those questions about the past.
You know,
that I just asked you in part one.
Right,
all those
for
questions.
Sure.
Tell us how you feel about that.
I have always embraced it. Full House gave me the platform that I have now to be able to do what I'm doing, not only in entertainment, but in ministry and to share my faith. So I love it and I'm very open to answering those questions. But because I've been answering them for so many years, I have to tell you, Priscilla, it really was your study of Gideon that I just finished. That brought me to the answers I was asking God. And there were a few key moments. I'm going to go off on a whole different thing, but there are a few key things that I learned in that in that study that popped off the page for me. And one was, what if finishing well means not finishing? That was big for me. And once you start balancing things, once you start, I'm acting and I'm writing and I'm speaking, and then you feel like you have to keep them all going. And I feel like, oh, these are opportunities that God gave me. And so if I'm letting one go, then maybe I'm not using the gift, or I'm not, he's, you know, clearly blessed me with this and I'm not using it to the fullest extent. And it was kind of like, when I read that, I went, oh, it was actually, that led me to another question in the study that I went, when was the last time I even asked God, like, if he wanted me to do this or keep doing this? And that was like Gideon, who just kept pursuing beyond what God had wanted him to do. He just started going on his own and going, I'm going to fight even more. I'm going to go conquer this. Yeah. He's like, because I have God by my side here, I'm just going to keep going. But it was really in his strength.
Yeah.
And so it was recently, I'm kind of like, I'm doing all this stuff, but like, when was the last time I asked God, do you still want me to be doing this? And maybe you do, but I don't think I've asked you in a year or two.
That's convicting, isn't it? Preach, girl.
Well, thanks for writing the study, but it just, those were huge moments, and it was such a relief and pressure that just left my shoulders that I was like, God, I'm doing this all for you because I want to out of a heart, but you don't need me to do anything for you.
Right.
So just tell me what you want me to do and let me be that steward, that vessel, that will do it. But so it's like that whole, if you've read that Mary and Martha book, that it's like, when did I turn into a Martha? Yeah. I'm just like doing stuff for God, and I stopped at just being at his feet.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and it's exhausting, isn't it?
Yes.
When you're just trying to keep,
totally.
I wonder if you have ever felt this, because I think so many women do, where there is one season of our life, or even one week, where we do something really well, we find ourselves competing with ourselves. Like, we want to do it better the next time. So here you've had this huge amount of success in your life. Did you ever get into that rat race where you were trying to compete with yourself to do it better?
I still do that now.
Yes.
I mean, I'm always doing that. And that
How do you keep yourself from getting sucked into
that? Well, it's just recent. Priscilla, I'm trying to apply. It's all because of your study. I'm just figuring it out.
I mean, the pressure's not on, but we need you to help us today. We need answers.
You know what? This is what brought it back. I have to learn that it is so easy to just step, just take our eyes like a slight turn from God, even though like we can see him in our peripheral vision, but they're not set on him.
That's so good.
And yet that's so scary.
Yeah.
Because we think we're doing it for him anyway, so that's what I'm doing right now. I'm in a season of going, God, what do you want me to do? I want to do it for you, but you tell me.
And then
so
being
I know.
Okay with his answer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All of that comes into, even with my life, with the original question that you asked me about having all the same questions asked over and over. And I think going, you know, having gone into this new year, I have a wonderful ministry, and God's given me a great testimony that I've been able to share over so many years.
Yeah.
But I have a testimony that is continually changing, and I just realize that. So I'm in a season of motherhood and being a working mom and a wife,
you
and my kids are in their teens. And I was like, I never mind answering the questions about the past and the Full House stuff, but at the same time, I want to grow in the future and be someone that encourages and inspires in what I'm doing right now and today and in my life.
Like this, there's a present tense thing that's actually happening.
Yes.
And I think what you've just said is a testimony so much to all of us, because we can sometimes get so wrapped up in what has happened, whether it's something that happens that was so great and you were so successful at, and you're still kind of hanging your hat on that, or you've had something devastating happen in your past that's kind of crippled you or paralyzed you. In any case, no matter the reason, if you get hung up in the past, then, you know, Isaiah 43, God says, you know, I'm trying to do something new. Will you not even be aware of what it is that I'm doing in the present tense and have planned for you in the future if you're so caught up in the past?
Yes.
So the past is there. And it's a great gift that God has given you to share with others. But you're like, okay, there's something else that I also have to share. And she is sharing it all in several books that she has, but brand new one is called Balancing It All.
Yeah.
And we get to delve a little bit into your life, everything that's happening right now.
Yeah.
But I do want to also talk about one of her other books called Reshaping It All, because I want to just say that you look good.
Thank you.
You are looking very, very cute. And
Thank
we need
you.
To know, What do you mean by reshaping it all? What did this look like for you? Because I read here that you struggled a little bit around 19 years old. Well, I assume you struggled even earlier than that because you were underneath the lights and cameras and people that wanted you to fit into this mold of who this character was supposed to be in commercials and television shows. So how did you struggle with weight and health, and how did your life kind of change?
Well, most people assume, because I'm in the entertainment industry and growing up on television, that I probably had body weight or image issues because of trying to fit into a mold. But really, they made it very comfortable for me on set, and I was never pressured to lose weight by producers or my parents were very protective. So my body image was fine.
Okay, let me growing ask up you on television. Though, why do you think that was? Because I do know some other people that were in your situation when they were younger, and it's the exact opposite story. They were pressured by producers and directors to slim down or to do whatever.
I know. Well, I will say, on my brother's show, Growing Pains, the actress Tracy Gold that played my brother's sister on that show, she did struggle severely with
anorexia. Remember that. Y'all remember that?
And some other, and eating disorders. And I think because that was so closely related, because that was my brother's show and then I'm on my show, I think the producers and my family
Their radar was way up to make sure
that that didn't happen. Because clearly, listen, I wasn't a very overweight child, but I had the chubby little cheeks. I wasn't the skinny little girl, especially standing next to Kimmy Gibbler all day, who was like this big, right? This big. So
thanks a lot, Kimmy.
But I think they were very aware of that, and that's why I didn't get that pressure. So my body image was fine growing up, but what happened was when the show ended, I was 18. I had met Val at 18. We were married at I was 20. We were engaged at 19, married at 20. And I moved to Montreal, Canada, because I was his wife now. And so I became a hockey wife, and I left everything in LA, and I'd been working since I was 5 years old. So here I am, 15 years later, having everything about myself that I knew was really grounded in my family, the entertainment industry, being a working actress, and now I'm in Montreal, and I'm just a hockey wife.
Did you feel lonely there?
Very lonely. And there's 82 games in a season, so 41 he was on the road for. So I got very lonely, and I didn't have a lot of friends, and I was still trying to find my way because I was kind of this celebrity, but now I'm a hockey wife, and you're trying to find
where you fit.
Just uncomfortable. And so I turned to food for comfort. It was like so many of us do, whether it's happy times, we want to celebrate. Where's the cake? Where's the ice cream? I need a donut. Like, we're celebrating. And then when we get lonely or sad or mad or angry, it's like, where's the chocolate? I need it. But that's what I turned to was food, but it became a problem for me because I would just have little food parties with myself, and it turned into binging and purging. So it wasn't about trying to fit into a certain body type. It wasn't about trying to lose weight for me. It was just filling an emotional comfort that I so desperately wanted in this transition in my life. And I filled it with food, but then didn't want the effects of that.
Right. So the issue wasn't really physical at all. The issue was that you had an emotional void that needed to be filled by something, and you just chose food. But people choose a wide variety of things to fill it up. So for a mom that's dealing with a teenager or a young girl that is kind of getting sucked into this whole body image thing, what would you say that she can do to help boost the self-esteem of this young woman and help her to enjoy and appreciate the body that she has?
Yeah. Well, again, it comes down to God gives us all different body shapes. We are all different sizes, and the number on the scale does not change the amount of love that God has for us.
Yeah.
doesn't matter.
God's love doesn't go up when the number goes down or vice versa, right?
Yes, they're not related.
Yeah.
And I think it's important as moms that we, and dads, that we continually tell our children that, and particularly our girls. And really, we keep the magazines out of our house. We don't.
We
don't buy those magazines. Mm-hmm. And even if my daughter, you know, it's hard when you're standing in line at the grocery store, like you want to just pick up one of those tabloid magazines and look, and it's like, no, you're not even picking it up, because it just sends images and messages that they don't need to read. They're not healthy, and it's not just about body image, but there's so many messages in
there. So you're guarding your girl.
So we're guarding her. But I also think it's equally as important, and I think a lot of people miss this. I think it's so important that we teach our kids how to be healthy, though. It shouldn't be something that if you do struggle with food, that you ignore it, because that leads to obesity, and then you're enabling your family or your children to live an unhealthy life that they're going to just have to undo years later.
And I don't think we look at it like that, because we love to feed our children because it makes them happy. You know what I mean? We just want to give them the cookie, and they want a milkshake, and we want them to have dessert. And so we feel like we're being a good parent when we see the smile on their face because we're all enjoying the pizza for the third time this week. You know what I mean?
Right.
But you're saying that it's setting them up to be miserable in adulthood and have unhealthy bodies.
Right. So if sometimes it's easy to go overboard to say, well, I don't want my daughter to have a bad body image. But yet if you're not teaching her how to be healthy, then she could become overweight and then is going to have an even more difficult time later. So understanding, and listen, it starts with you. Like you have to eat healthy. Your husband has to eat. You have to make the, and if you're the mom, you're probably cooking the meals in your home. So it's kind of, you're the one that has to start that.
Well, one of my boys reached over at dinner the other night and he grabbed the salt and he was just about to, you know, I smacked his hand, dropped, you know, not to hit him hard, just to smack that salt out of it. Yeah, you don't need that. And he looked back at me and said, but mom, you always use it.
Right.
And he's so right. I love salt. I love salt. But they're watching us.
Exactly.
And what we do is what they're going to do.
Right. I'm Candace Cameron Bure. I am a mom. I'm a wife. I'm an actress. I'm a chauffeur. I'm a cook. I don't know, I'm everything. I have three children, Natasha, Lev, and Max, and my husband's Val, and we've been married for 17 years. Being a mom, being a woman, being a wife, working, faith, I mean, it's difficult to balance all of them. I say it's like a juggling act because, you know, you're trying to throw a bunch of things up in the air and keep them balanced, or the plate spinning, or, you know, the pins rotating all at the same time. But the truth of the matter is some of those plates are going to drop, or some of the pins are going to fall, and that's okay. I think it's silly for any woman to have an expectation that they're going to be superwoman. None of us are, and we won't ever be. I know that all of our circumstances are different and we're all unique, so everyone's life is going to look different when we try to balance it all. So I've written this book because I want to use my life as an example for women out there to read and say, this is how I've done it. It's not a 10-step program to how to balance your life. It's very autobiographical, and it takes you through my personal story. I really pull out the key moments in my life that I saw either examples of balance or ways in which I've learned to balance and prioritize my life. The main keys in my life are my faith, prioritizing my marriage and my relationship with my husband, investing in my children, and then be work and the rest of my social life. Don't have the expectation to be superwoman. I once did, and realized that we can't do it all perfectly well at the same time. My priorities in my life were not the same when my children were toddlers as they are as teens. My priorities were not the same when I was a stay-at-home mom to being a working mom now. And so we need to step back and look at our life as a whole, but really look in small increments of time of saying, what are the priorities right now, today? And we continually reevaluate, and those priorities will change and evolve. And I think that's how we do life. That's how we balance it. My relationship with God really sets the tone for that. God gives us the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control when we have a relationship with Him. And so, wow, that's good stuff. I'm so thankful that I have those God-given attributes, that He gives those to me when I have a relationship with Him. And those, I mean, in a nutshell, I mean, it's what we need every day to be able to roll with it and do life and do it to the best of our ability.
Let me back up. I was about to ask you what you're doing differently now. But what got you out of that habit, the binging and purging and just that low self-esteem, that feeling of loneliness? Did you have, when did your husband know what was going on? How did you get out of that?
Well, the first time I actually got out of that, I was caught red-handed by my dad. I was in the bathroom, and it was the most humiliating and embarrassing. Woo, I'm like, just thinking about it. Probably 21, 22, something like that.
Yep.
And it was horrible. And I just saw how broken my dad was seeing that and being caught. It was just humiliating.
Yeah.
So that was just like, okay, done. I will never do that, because I did not want to dishonor I love my mom and dad so much and didn't want to dishonor him in that way.
Did you tell your mom or any?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was it, but it didn't really, I stopped on my own will just because I had the strength to do that, but it didn't fix the problem. Mm. And so when I came to faith and really started walking with Christ when I was about 25 years old, and my world got turned upside down because I wanted to live for Christ, wouldn't you know that the very first thing that came back into my life that had been gone at this point for several years, like I hadn't even thought about binging and purging. And yet I came to Christ, and probably a year into it, it was like, the thought came into my mind after I had a meal that was too big, and it just set it in motion like, on the tracks going high speed. And I went, what just happened and why am I back here?
Mm-hmm.
And it was through that understanding that this became so much of a spiritual battle.
Oh yeah.
That Satan knew my weakness. And so I had to treat it like a spiritual battle. And that's what changed. I called on God. I got the troops, and it was God's army that just went, oh, okay, like I need you to fight this for me, because clearly I am weak in this, but I know I have a choice and I know you will give me the strength to make different decisions. And so, I had to reshape my mind and the way that I thought about food, the way in which I used food, I had to reshape it all. And that really why the book is titled that way. Because it wasn't just, a body transformation. It really wasn't about the physical. It was all here.
It wasn't about that.
Yeah.
So but in the process, your entire body image has changed. It's different. And is it a struggle for you now to maintain your ideal body weight, which I'm assuming you're at now? Because you look fantastic. Did I already say that in the show?
Thank you.
Is it a struggle even for you now, or is it something that you have gotten into a rhythm with?
Yeah, I'm definitely in a rhythm with it, because those struggles were well over 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And but I'll admit that it crosses my mind.
Yeah.
It's still something I have to stay on top of, but it's not a daily thing in my mind by any means.
I mean, because let's be honest, all of us have something that crosses our mind, something that, the enemy knows our weakness and he knows what to bring up to our mind to just kind of tempt us away from following as we should.
Yeah. So. And I call it out, man. If those thoughts pop into my mind, I'm just like, no. People think I'm a little weird. I'm talking to myself out loud, but it's like, I just have to call that thing out. Like that is not happening. I am not that.
Mm-hmm. That's not who you are anymore.
No.
Not who you are anymore. So what does health look like for your family, for, you know, busy moms that are trying to keep their kids healthy?
And yes.
What does that look like for you? You've got, you do have tips in reshaping it all, which I love so
I
much.
Do.
I mark
and I
them
do
because
have...
I think they're great. Like even just this one to me is so huge. And it's rare that we just tell our kids this as well. Stop eating when you're satisfied. Like, it's not rocket science, except none of us do it. You know what I mean? We tell our kids, you cleaned your plate because I worked hard on this plate. You're going to eat everything that's on this plate.
Right.
But maybe we should also be teaching them the importance of valuing the food on their plate and being grateful. Yes. But when you're satisfied, you need to be done.
That was one of the most important lessons when I had kids and then wanted to lose the baby weight. Biggest lesson I learned, eat until you're satisfied. So you can just, I would always stop halfway through my meal. Am I satisfied? I don't need to be full. I don't need to be stuffed. Am I satisfied?
Mm-hmm.
Can I wrap this up? And then if in an hour or two I'm hungry, can I have the rest of it or half of that?
Mm-hmm.
And that changed a lot for
me. You were echoing. That is really one of my kind of life rules. I mean, I think it was about 18 years ago. Through college, it was just college, you know, up and down 20 pounds, you know, and I came out of college and I was, you know, 20 pounds heavier than I'd ever, it was just, you know, I kind of was like, what am I going to do about this? And I was one of those people that like to try to find a fast way to fix it, you know, and the fast ways, you know, they might give you a little bit of a, you know, a window to make you think you're doing something for about 3 days.
Right.
And as soon as you actually eat something, you can no longer fit the jeans that you were so excited about fitting the day before. And I remember really praying about this because I was so broken about it at one point. I just was praying about it. And I was like, Lord, I don't want to live like this. Like, I don't want to feel, I don't want to not enjoy food. I don't want to eat something and then go to bed feeling bad that I ate the cookie or that I enjoyed a cupcake or whatever, that I had a great Thanksgiving meal. I want to enjoy food. You gave it to us to enjoy. Help me with this.
Yes.
And I will never forget my devotions the next day. After I literally was weeping and crying over it, my devotions the next day was from Galatians chapter 5, and it is where he's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. So what's supposed to be evident from our life because of the Spirit of God within us, and one of them was self-control.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it like jumped, that word, I'd read that before, but it jumped off the page like I'd never seen it before. And it was like the Holy Spirit was saying to me, listen, if you could just put the fork down when you're satisfied.
Right.
And exercise the control that I'm in your life to give you. If you can just do that, you're not going to have to worry about weight for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so most of the time, about halfway, when I finish a meal, especially an American-sized meal, when I'm halfway through that American-sized meal, I think, okay, do I feel all right?
Mm-hmm.
Am I satisfied? And most of the time, I am.
Yep.
And then you just package that up. Or better yet, tell the waiter as soon as they bring the meal to go ahead and bring you the to-go box so you can go ahead and package that half up and not have it on the plate.
I know. I'm always like, why people are afraid of wasting the food. And I'm like, you can, but why are you going to treat your body like it's a garbage can?
Like
why are you
going
to put more in it than you really need? Because that's what it's turning into. It's not good fuel for your body.
Well, you have given us lots of amazing tips in reshaping it all to help our families, to help us. Look at you. You're so cute there on the back in your little, what are you eating?
I know, Fruit Loops. And it's, oh, I do not eat Fruit Loops, but it's because the color was so cute, cuter than
Cheerios.
It is cute.
And ain't nothing wrong with a good Fruit Loop, girl.
Listen, it's all about moderation. I think just what you said, it's not like people go, oh, well, you probably never eat sugar or dessert. Oh, no, I do. I have a wicked sweet tooth.
Yeah.
But it's just in moderation, and I just kind of plan out, and I know my week, hey, I'm going to be going to dinner this night, or I've got that party that night, or I'm going to have date night this night. So I'm going to eat really clean on these days so I can enjoy those meals that day.
And if you're not doing the cooking, Val's doing the cooking.
Val does all the cooking.
Like all
like
of it?
Like 99% of it.
Really?
I wash
and he
dishes.
Cooks healthy.
Yes. My husband, I'll admit it's a little easier in the sense that I'm married to a professional athlete. So his health is...
It's like at the top of his priority list.
Yes. Yeah. Even though he's retired, he eats very healthy. Fitness is very important to him. And that's how we've been able to incorporate it into our family. So my three kids all play sports.
Yeah,
and I
that's
think,
so good. Keeping them active is so important.
It's so important. But we work out together as a family, which sometimes is crazy. But yes, we will wake up at 5:30 and go for a run before school. Or the boys will go to the rink and play hockey. But we invest that way in their lives physically because it's important to take care of our body. That's
and it's
gonna
a great
lead
habit
for
them to have so that when they're older, it's just something they do. They
and
go
it's about
active.
Discipline, too, which leads to every aspect. We have to have discipline within our lives, and
absolutely.
Especially particularly as a Christian.
Yeah.
We need to exercise the discipline that
yeah. Absolutely. And you've got good tips for that in the book. Exercise tips. There are some recipes in this mm-hmm. book. Everything you need to help you to reshape not only your body, but listen, reshaping it all. Like she meant that when she put that, decided that would be the cover of this book. She wants you to reshape your mind. She wants you to reshape your body. She wants you to reshape your lifestyle so that it is glorifying to God and that you can be the best you that you can possibly be. You've helped us so much. Thank you for being vulnerable and open with us and helping us to just, allowing us to just dive into your life just a little bit. Will you guys please help me to thank Candace Cameron Gray for being here?